Okay, so this is, first I would like to thank the organizers for organizing this and also for inviting me. This has been very useful for me. Okay, so this is the title of my talk, and also I usually put the notes of the whatever talks or something in my webpage, so you may want to check this after the end of, when I go back to Austin, I will put the notes in my webpage. Okay, so first, let me start recalling the definition of Malan measure for polynomials in several variables. So this formula, I guess you are used to it in this conference. So the point here is that, well, for one variable, there is also this other nice formula as the... Before I continue, let me say, I'm going to say Malan measure, but I always refer to logarithmic Malan measure in this talk. Okay, so using, I don't know, if you want to start with one variable with this definition, using Jensen formula, you recover the original definition with the sum of logarithms of absolute values of roots of absolute value bigger than one. So in a sense, this is, you know, a nice formula. So we sort of can say things about it. So the question will be, well, what happens if I have several variables, right? Okay. So let me start first with some classical results. So some of the first results. So these are some of Chris Smith examples. So this is, well, the simplest one. The Malan measure of 1 plus x plus y is equal to this special value of L function. So this is the L function in the character of conductor 3. Using the functional equation of the L function, I can get also this maybe simplified version. Also, well, the analogous example with one more variable is a Malan measure of 1 plus x plus y plus c is given by this special value of the zeta function. Okay. The next example, you already seen it too. In Sam's talk. But I can't help mentioning. Well, this is, as Malotte pointed out to me, this is not only due to him, but also due to Kassem. Okay, I did a slice before, I remember. So this is like the general case for the linear polynomial in two variables. So this formula, really, Sam Vanderbilt show us this formula. But anyway, so we can see from the definition of the Malan measure with the integral, it's easy to see that this Malan measure only depends on the absolute values of A, B, and C. So because of that, we can think of A, B, and C as real positive numbers, and then we can the question of whether they can be the length of the size of a triangle makes sense, and so we get this split formula for these two cases, whether I have a triangle or I don't. And as Sam pointed out, this term with the Bloch-Wigner dilogarithm, and well, many other people actually point out after that, corresponds to the volume of the ideal hyperbolic tetrahedron that one can build using this triangle as a basis over C. Okay, and the fourth vertex is, of course, infinite. Okay. Okay, now let me show you the results. Okay, so these are the results that we have obtained. The first, some of them already were known. like this one was computed by Chris Smith. It's actually a slight generalization of the result I showed you before, and also some Vanderbilt, and also this one I think is also in Chris Smith papers. And well, let me explain how this table is working. So here I want to say that we compute this Malan measure for these polynomials where alpha is just a complex number different from zero. So these are like, we have a 1 degree of freedom here, except in this polynomial. But the formulas, depending on alpha, are quite complicated. They are multiple polylogarithms. So I'm going to talk about multiple polylogarithms in just a minute. So in this column, instead of writing the general formula, what I did was to write the formula for the case alpha equals 1, just to give you an idea. And there is, so you have to read the formula dividing by the power of pi here, right? This is just to make it nicer. So we can see this, for instance, this L function. Also, the Riemann zeta function show up in here, too. Okay, I'm going to go back to these results in a minute. But first, let me talk about polylogarithms. Okay, so I'm going to follow a Goncharov approach. So first, we can define multiple polylogarithms and this as this power series. So initially, this is conversion for absolute value of xi less than 1. But of course, it's going to have some analytic continuation, right? So first, let me talk about hyperlogarithms. So these are just integrals of things. These circles stands for the following definition. So the integral between 0 and something. So these AI are just complex numbers, right? So the integral between 0 and some complex number here is going to be, so I put one different variable for each place, and then I ask the condition that 0 is less or equal than the first variable, which is less or equal than the second variable, and so on. Okay, this is actually just an idea. It's not exactly like that, because this integral may not be convergent, okay? What I mean with this is take a path between 0 and BL plus 1, and, you know, this is going to be a parametrization. Of course, this integral will depend on the homotopy class of the path. But this is just to give an idea. Okay. So what these two definitions have in common? Well, I guess. Okay. Let me put this here. Well, the important thing about these two definitions is that one can express the series as this integral. Initially, where we in the place where they are defined, and so this gives us an analytic continuation. So, for instance, to keep something concrete in mind, say this finishes with 1, so it's like having 1 here. So, suppose that we do the integral, just we choose a path that is the real path between 0 and 1, and then we get an analytic continuation to complex numbers minus the interval 1 infinity. So this is to have some concrete idea. So the problem is, the results have these combinations of these integrals, but they were okay, although each integral maybe is not defined, you know, completely, but the combinations were defined, were convergent integrals. Okay, so now let me well, but, oh, I forgot to mention this. So the sum of these numbers, k1, k2, kn, is called the weight of the polylogarithm, and the number m, so the number of different variables that I have is called the length. Okay, now with this in mind, let's just talk a little bit more about the results. So what we have here is some combination of die logarithms. And you can see there are two variables here, and this is something of weight 2. And so on. We are going to have the number of variables is going to correspond to the weight of the formula. Of course, having in mind that pi has weight 1 because it's something that comes from logarithm, and then all the formulas get homogeneous. This is an observation that Fernando made. And this, for instance, this series is some combination of some combination of polylogarithms of length 2 and weight 4 to 2, and this series comes from 3-1, and this one actually in the general case comes from 3-2. In the general case, I mean for any alpha. Okay, let me now talk about the idea of the method. So this is the idea of how you compute this. So we start with the polynomial in some number of variables, such that the coefficient depends polynomially in some alpha, some complex number alpha. And so, for instance, I'm going to be concrete with this very simple case. Start with 1 plus alpha x. So the idea is we know the Malan measure of this polynomial, and we are going to build one polynomial in one more variable, and we are going to compute the Malan measure of the new polynomial as a function of the Malan measure that we already know. So, well, in this case, we know that the Malan measure is log plus of absolute value of alpha. So now we do, in order to get the new polynomial, what we do is we change alpha by alpha times 1 minus y over 1 plus y. Of course, you may argue this is not a polynomial. Well, if you don't like it, multiply by 1 plus y as many times as you need to get the polynomial. This doesn't change anything. 1 plus y has Malan measure 1, so you may think of, you know, Malan measure of this over Malan measure of the other. It won't change anything. Okay, so we obtain this new polynomial, one more variable. So following with our example, what we get is 1 plus y plus alpha times 1 minus y times x, which maybe, I don't know if you remember, but this is the first guy in the table. Okay. Okay, so then, as I said, the Malan measure of this new polynomial, p tilde, is a certain integral of the Malan measure of the first polynomial p. So this is just, plug the formula here. In the formula, wherever you have alpha, you replace with this fractional thing, and you integrate. Okay, this is just a definition. I'm not using anything. Okay. Okay, now, if you are lucky enough, you can do the same observation that is mentioned when I talk of Merleau-Cassagne case. The Malan measure maybe only depends on the absolute value of alpha. So what happens in that case? Well, in that case, I can just, you know, make some change of variable, and whenever I have the absolute value of this thing, I will call this u. So to be more precise, what I do is to go to polar coordinates and then, well, make this change, call u alpha tangent of the argument over 2. So whatever, doing some elementary computation, you get this, and the next step, you get this. Okay, so why is, was the feeling of this. Same. Okay, let's take a look again as to hyperlogarithms. If you had that the Malan measure of P is of polylogarithm or hyperlogarithm, you are multiplying by two things that look a lot like this. So the idea is that if you're lucky enough, yeah, I know, I'm integrating from zero to infinity, so there are a lot of small details that you have to take care about. But the idea is that if you're lucky enough, you get a new polylogarithm. Okay, so in the example we were doing, the example is here. In the example we were doing, we had, you know, the Malan measure of 1 plus alpha times x was log plus, so we get this change, and, well, after some steps, some elementary steps, we get this difference of the logarithms. Okay? So, again, now let's look at the table. Again. Okay. So this is, as I mentioned, this is the first case. So when alpha equals 1, one gets this L function for that formula here. Okay. So this is... I forgot what I was going to say in this case. Well, I think this is what I wanted to say for this case. Okay. Ah, yeah, I remember. Okay, so what's the meaning of this division in the table? Okay, now that we know the method. Well, the idea is that this is a family that we built starting from the polynomial that I mentioned before. This one. So, performing the same method several times, we got these results. Now, starting from this example that, as I mentioned, we already knew by Chris Smith's work and also some Vanderbilt. Starting from, yes, well, this is just the example I showed before with some alpha modifying, so we get this. Now, this example is slightly different. We do it by starting with Malo-Cassane example for this particular case. 1 plus alpha times x plus 1 minus alpha times y. So this example has a nice interpretation as the triangle with 0, 1, and alpha. It's a little more subtle because now the Malan measure doesn't depend only on the absolute value of alpha, and because of that we weren't able to get an alpha here. I mean, the computation gets really more complicated. Okay. Now to finish, I would like to explain what's this zeta of phi, what is it doing here. Okay. So how does zeta of phi show up? So when we do the method, what we get, this is something of the thing that I was talking in the beginning, we get some combination of multiple polylogarithms. And of course, I have to say, I mean, really, when you have alpha here, these have like 3 or 4 lines more. Okay, there are some log alpha multiplying, and then some really huge things like this. And that's why I'm only talking about alpha equals 1. Anyway, so you get this combination. So initially, I transformed this combination into a sum like this, and it was nice enough for me, but the referee complained. And then I decided to spend some time looking at this. And actually, the point is that In these psalms, the arguments were something like 1 and I, plus, minus 1, plus, minus I. But this psalm is a little different because you have plus, minus 1 in both sides. And so these are things that are already, you know, Euler talked about these things already. But now we know them as alternating Euler psalms. Or some people talk about them as, you know, modifying zeta functions or things like that. So there's a whole lot of work behind this in order to understand functional equation with these things. So actually what I found was in some paper due to Jonathan Baldwin, Rothhaus and Berkeley, I found this big formula, which in this case, in the case of, you know, 3, 2, it reduces to this thing. And so here is just the multiple polylogarithm in x, y. X and y are plus or minus 1. I can choose them. And it's this combination of penta, tetra, and dilogarithms. And the arguments are only, you know, x, y, x times y, whatever. So I start from something of length 2 and I get something of length 1. Actually, the general formula is like that. You start with something of length 2 and weight all, and you get some combination of length 1. And this is really nice because when you have 1 or minus 1 in the simple polylogarithm, you actually get special values of the Riemann zeta function. With 1 is obvious, and with minus 1 you have to work maybe a little bit with the product formula. And so what you get in this case is some combination of, you know, zeta 5, zeta 3, zeta 2. So this term here ends up to be this thing. Okay? Now here comes the magic. You multiply by 8 in order to get this. You sum this thing, and you observe that pi squared over 6 is set of 2. And they cancel. And you get 93 times set of 5. And I don't know. I mean, well, we have this proof. I think there should be a more direct proof for this, but I mean, I think it's really beautiful. Well, I think that's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Questions? Is the reason you stop where you do it, it's not a matter of principle, is it?
It's a matter of pages and pages of computation.
So the method might actually say you automated it in some way.
Yes, I wish. I've been thinking of this. For instance, well, because of this formula here, maybe we can get nice conclusions every 2 steps. So maybe there is some way of, you know, jumping 2 steps at a time here, because I don't have any hope of getting set of 6 using this, but maybe, I don't know, set of 7. But this it occurred to me last week, so I didn't have much time to think about it. And the formulas get really complicated. Yes?
Especially the expression 1 minus y and 1 plus y.
To do the change, when you do the change? Well, I didn't think about that. I was thinking in using, like, fraction of 2, you know, 1-degree polynomial. Maybe that's a good... I didn't think about that. When you use fractions, this fraction is especially nice because, you know, it takes a circle to the line, and... So, I mean, it's quite... I tried to change it a little bit, and it was impossible. But that could be a good idea, I think. Thank you.